As Mike said before he did the reading for 1 Corinthians 13, this is often, it is the most requested text for weddings. It's called the love chapter. Really, it's a reflection that Paul is having about love. It's a reflection, but also a reminder to all of us how love must be the center. It must be the core. Authentic love must be at the heart of all that we say, think, and do. You'll remember that Christianity was first called the way. That's why I included just the last half of the last verse before chapter 13, where Paul says, I will show you a more excellent way. This way is the way of love. It's the greatest of all the gifts. In fact, love should be at the center of all the gifts, all the spiritual gifts that we have, and all of those gifts that we share with one another. Love needs to be at the core. The problem is sometimes we deceive ourselves with even religion. We cross every T, dot every I. We have the right theology, the right profession of faith. But when love is missing, it's useless, Paul tells us. Without love, we're not following the way of the Lord. We're simply following our own noses, Paul tells us. And what we're left with is meaninglessness and emptiness. Paul tells us what love is not. Love is not being able to speak multiple languages or the language of angels. It's not impressive speech. It's not the ability to talk well. It's not measured by our theological aptitude and our prowess and our understanding and information about God. All of that, Paul says, is useless information if at our heart isn't not inclined to love. Paul tells us that love is manifested through simple acts and words of kindness and generosity. It's by being patient with others, by not asserting your rights or your desires, but actually putting the other first before you. Paul tells us the attributes that are contrary to love: competitiveness, pride, rudeness, insisting on my way, irritability, resentfulness, enabling harmful language and behavior. That is not love. As our love increases, our joy increases, Paul tells us. Love is bearing one another's burdens, and it's characterized by you and me putting the best construction on things, explaining things in the kindest of ways when we don't understand the behavior of others. Authentic love creates the byproduct of hopefulness. When we insert love, authentic love, into the world, it actually makes people more helpful. Here on Long Island, has anybody ever given you the right of way while you're driving? Wow, there's hope in the world. Just that one act of kindness gives us a glimmer of the way the world should be. Love gives us strength to face the challenges ahead. It's what motivates us. It's the fuel that makes us able to do the things that we are able to do. Paul says love will never end. It's the one thing that we will take with us to heaven. We can't pack our suitcases to heaven. Job said, naked I have come into the world, naked I will go out, but we will carry with us in our hearts love. Love does not come into our lives, but to be born out through our lives to others. It's what Christ created us to do and to be. It's why he first loved us, so that we would love. This scripture also calls us to self-examination. Paul uses the analogy of a mirror. I actually saw one of these mirrors that were thousands of years old at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It's just a piece of brass, flat brass, that's been polished. Polished enough so that you can see an image of yourself dimly. Just an inkling of how you might look like if we were able to have an objective view of ourselves. So this text actually asks us to look into this mirror, even though it's a dim one. And what the Word of God does is it polishes that brass and it brightens that image and makes it clearer so that we can see ourselves more clearly. Think of yourselves when you go take a shower and the mirror is all fogged up. What do you need? You need some fresh air. And so the air of the Spirit blows in and takes the fog away from that mirror, and we see ourselves rightly. And what we see isn't all that beautiful sometimes. We see our failings to be the kind of people that God calls us to be. We see where we have been impatient, where we have been unkind. We see those things, but we also see the seed that God has planted into our hearts, that we are created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture says. We see that we, though we have many faults and failings, that we have been loved since the foundation of the world through Christ. And despite our sin and our shortcomings, God gave his only Son to die for us and to rise again so that we would be called his daughters and sons. That's who you see in the mirror of God's Word and even in the literal mirrors that we look into as children of God. About 20 years ago, when all my children were very little, I had this epiphany. It was kind of like looking into the mirror of my present and in my past. My children were being disobedient, an irritation to me, and I was feeling that well of irritation, and I'm sure they had the same well of irritation toward me. But at the same time, I noticed something that I hadn't expected as a new parent, as a young parent. That God had given that love in my heart for the children, that it became easier to overcome my irritation with my own children. That gift of love was something that I was seeing manifest to my children. I wasn't a perfect parent, but I saw that what God had planted in my heart. And because of that, it actually made me remember maybe what my parents had to deal with when they were dealing with me. And so I looked into that mirror, and I saw my parents in the background and their patience with me. Yes, their irritation, but also their faithfulness and the love that overcame that irritation. And so when we look into these mirrors, we learn not only more about ourselves, we learn about actually how blessed we have been. And I hope that you too were blessed with parents and grandparents like that. Maybe you weren't, but we can still look in that mirror and we can see God's faithfulness and love for us. So I called my parents and I actually apologized. I said, I actually see in my children probably just a glimpse of what you had to deal with me. And I thanked them and I told them that I love them. And I was grateful for the love that I certainly did not deserve, but recognize was a gift. When we discover the centrality of love like this, When we look in the mirror of ourselves and our experience, what happens is what Paul tells us happens. He says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. But then he left those childish things behind, and he became an adult. This is what happens in the Christian life, in the way of love. We actually leave those childish things behind. That my way has to be the way. That I am the center of attention. That I deserve this or that. I must come first. When we discover this in ourselves and we start to adult spiritually, what happens is we leave that first half of life into the second half of life, which is to rightly see ourselves as deeply loved by our Heavenly Father, and a call to have that same authentic love poured out through us. Paul tells us that this Christian self-reflection is like looking into a mirror dimly. As we grow in our faith, as we grow in our understanding of ourselves and of God, that picture of who we are becomes clearer, but also that a clearer picture of who God has called us to be. And the day is coming, Paul tells us, when that mirror will go away and we will see Christ face to face. I love the way John says it, using the same image of a mirror. He said, "Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. For what we do know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him face to face." This transformation is happening right now, Paul tells us. But one day, that full transformation into Christ-likeness will become reality. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with our whole being, our whole heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It really grieves me that our culture thinks that love is weakness, that selflessness is weakness, that sacrifice is weakness. Jesus was a real mensch when he went to the cross. He showed his strength. He showed his chuzpah when he took upon the sin of the world and died self-sacrificing. A soldier that fights because he hates the enemy is a dangerous soldier. But what Paul reminds us is that a soldier who fights for love of God and love of country is radically dangerous, even more so. It's why when we talk about love as God's people, it is not sentimentalism. It's not romanticism. It's not really feelings. Yes, the feelings may follow, but it's driven by action. And the greatest action that set love in motion was when God sent his Son, and when Jesus set his face like flint to the cross and then rose again from the dead. The writer of Hebrews said it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was love in Christ's heart that made him walk forward toward Calvary and also get up again so that we would also be forgiven and raised from the dead. What an awesome and exciting truth for us to look into this mirror dimly and to know that we will one day see Christ face to face in that final transformation where we will be dressed and robed in robes that are radiant with light, just like Christ, reflecting his light. And we will shine as the midday sun. Eye has not yet seen, nor the ear has heard, nor the heart imagined what God has in store for us. He's placed that seed of love into our hearts. And now we get to look with anticipation of what God will do in us and through us as we become part of that flow of love from heaven to earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.